Is there something you can point to in your life, political life or in your life in the last 4 years, that you think is a mistake that you have learned from?
I mean, I've made many mistakes. And they range from, you know, if you've ever parented a child, you know, you make lots of mistakes too. In my role as vice president, I mean, I've probably worked very hard at making sure that I am well versed on issues. And I think that is very important. It's a mistake not to be well versed on an issue and feel compelled to answer a question.
Is there
this town hall was an absolute, it was ridiculous. It was one of the worst things I think I've ever seen in my life. It was horrible. Her answers were horrible. It was just so bad all the way around. And we've got a lot of cuts for you on it. And I mean, I just don't know. Her campaign, there is nothing, as I've been saying from the get-go, there's literally nothing that can be done at this point for her to regain her momentum. I just don't, I don't see anything at all. I mean, there's there's just, it's nothing. There's not, it's bad. So welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here with you. We are at the top of this first hour, and we're like, what is it, 11 days away or 12 days away now?
I think it's less than that.
Is it fewer? It's fewer than that, probably. Yeah. So it's, I mean, we're just, it is a mess. I mean, her answers on this, I want to play some of this because we're going to go into, we got all of the media attacks, we got all the stupid Oppo stuff. I'm just so done with it all. We've got all that for you. But her answers on all of this, I you can tell why they're pivoting so hard and trying to make this like John Kelly Trump thing a thing from this. It's when you hear her answers and when you hear the way that she, like, for instance, when she's asked about taxes, this is crazy. By the way, I've heard her say this before. I actually think we've played, this is audio somebody too. I swear to you, I've heard her say this before, and I think it was in one of the other sit-downs that she did. So she was asked about, you know, taxes, which, by the way, the economy, this is a major, major issue of concern for many, many Americans, and she just is not getting it. Listen to this.
When you talk about rich people paying their fair share, can you be more specific? Income taxes are already on a graduated scale, where the more you make, the higher percentage you pay in taxes. So the rich are paying a disproportionate amount in taxes as it is. Over 40% of Americans don't pay any income taxes. Also, the really high earners may move their money offshore if there are disincentives in the U.S. This could impact the economy. I would like to hear more nuts and bolts about your economic plans.
Sure. Thank you, Pam. So first of all, it is the case in the United States of America that billionaires on average pay less taxes as a percentage than teachers and firefighters and nurses.
Yeah. I'm talking about hard workers like pound the street, have some success.
Yes, no, I understand. Yes. But I want to just let's set the scene, right?
Yeah.
So when I say that the richest among us need to pay their fair share, I am referencing that, and I need
fair
to reference
share.
That because sadly, Donald Trump, when he was president, gave tax cuts to the richest, to billionaires and big corporations.
That's not how that worked.
Which added trillions of dollars to our deficit. So that sadly needs to be said in a way
that
should be obvious to your point.
What added to the deficit was the government spending, which, by the way, I was one of the people who was critical of the former administration on that. I mean, you can't be spending out of control. And remember, I warned everybody about this. I'm like, look, they're going to try to argue that this is going to be, you know, this is why we have to have, you know, increased, we're going to have increased taxation because they're not going to want to stop government spending. And this is something that we have to do. I mean, I told everybody this, and it's like I saw this coming like from a mile away. And then here she is. It gave them the perfect in for it. It gave them just the absolute perfect in to be able to say, well, you know, this added to the deficit. But anyway, that's beside the point, though. that's not how the economy works in any respect. That's not how the economy works. It's not an issue of taxes causing, you know, taxes being expensive and costing people, and that's what adds to the deficit. That's not the issue at all. The issue, again, is the spending. She won't address that, by the way. And any of the things that she's hit on, and it, because she was asked, there was a woman last night who said, "Can you tell me more about the nuts and the bolts of your, your economic policy?" Yeah, that woman. She's like, "Yeah, well, let me give you a bunch of BS." Is what she said. That's essentially what, you know, let me give you a bunch of BS. I'll tell you that. It's and when she was asked about raising taxes, audio soundbite one, this is the stuff that people want to hear that she can't speak to. Listen.
So you're saying, well, what you're saying is anyone under 400,000 won't have taxes raised. Or are you saying that anyone above 400,000 will have a tax raise?
I'm saying that there is going to be a parity around what the richest people pay in terms of their taxes. Right now, Anderson, you know, it is well documented that some of the richest people in our country have gotten away with a zero tax rate.
But if you're earning $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 under your plan, there's a good chance your taxes go up.
We can't have this conversation without knowing it's a very complicated situation, right?
Wait, how is it a complicated? What do you mean? What the hell are you there to do? You're there to have this conversation. What in the hell is the matter with you? You're there to have this conversation. That's the conversation you're there to have. I mean, we can't have this conversation. It's very complicated. Oh, but the American people are just too stupid to understand what it is you're doing. I see. I see how it is. This is all just so asinine. It's so incredibly asinine. So this is the town hall that she had. And I mean, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And in the meantime, while this is happening, I wanted to skip down to this other stuff. I was going to get into the Musk thing and the DOJ stuff, but I wanted to skip down my rundown to this. So you had that story that came out in The Guardian, and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I didn't want to spend a hell of a lot of time on it because I would rather jump off my roof, break my legs off, and take my femurs and stab everyone to death that's involved with this story. I mean, that's how frustrating it makes me. We are in the stupidest season ever. And the story, this chick comes out and says, "Oh, it was late winter of 1993, and I was on a walk with Jeffrey Epstein from his brownstone." And that's when he looked at me and he said, "Let's go by and see Trump." Except now it's coming out that he didn't even move into that mansion until 1996 or 97, right? And so she's lying about the time. She lied about the whole thing. There's nobody that can corroborate a single bit of it. And yet The Guardian, which is a piece of excrement that they pass off as a publication, decided that they were going to run with it. The Guardian decided they were going to run with it without, you know, these are the same people that wouldn't talk about the Hunter Biden laptop, but they're going to run with this story. The Hunter Biden laptop, which was, you know, receipts all day long, but they're going to run with this story, which is, it's so asinine. And so this story comes out. In addition to that, then you have, let me pull this out, the John Kelly thing. John Kelly warning of Trump using the military to go after American citizens. It's a very bad thing. I mean, I only hear one side talking about using law enforcement to go and take things from people, and that's Democrats whenever they talk about gun control. So not sure what they're getting at there. But they had John Kelly, who was talking about these bombshell revelations from John Kelly, and it was a report in The Atlantic. And, you know, all of the people that were involved with that story, not a single person would corroborate it. Everybody that was involved was denying it. So I'm trying to figure out why they decided once again to go ahead and run with it when The Atlantic were the same exact people, another one of those publications that wouldn't talk about the Hunter Biden laptop story back during the last election because they said that it couldn't be corroborated, even though it absolutely could be corroborated. I mean, it's just asinine. And The Atlantic, just absolute garbage. But this is why they're so hell-bent. They're so terrified right now. They're so absolutely terrified because she's doing so poorly that they have to drag all this stuff out. Anything that they can do to try to it's not about building Kamala up so much as it's about discrediting Trump is ultimately, you know, the truth of the matter. And this story, for instance, now I haven't pulled this up. This is a Politico piece that ran this morning. Mark Esper: Trump has these inclinations towards fascism. It's something we should be wary about, he said. He was talking about his colleague John Kelly's recent remarks, and he believes that Trump meets the definition of a fascist, and that, of course, you know, they have no reason to doubt Kelly's honesty or his integrity in discussing any of this stuff. They made up this remark about Trump saying that he liked Hitler's generals, and then it became Trump is literally Hitler. And now you have Kamala Harris, who is speaking about that. This was more of her. She had remarks yesterday to that effect, and she was talking about that yesterday, where she was asked about it. This is which audio soundbite is this? Because this was that little weird presser that she had, and she was saying that. It's on our rundown where it says video, but she was saying that yes, you know, he is he vowed to be a dictator on day one, and he said he would use our military to carry out personal and political vendettas. His former chief of staff said he wanted generals like Hitler's, and he wants unchecked power. And in 13 days, the Americans will decide what they want. I mean, this was just crazy. This is absolute craziness. So that's why I don't know if I can play it on my end. Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead and roll this. This is nuts.
Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution. He wants a military that is loyal to him. He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally, one that will obey his orders even when he tells them to break the law or abandon their oath to the Constitution of the United States. In just the past week, Donald Trump has repeatedly called his fellow Americans the enemy from within, and even said that he would use the United States military to go after American citizens. And let's be clear.
I think she's trying to get him shot. I don't know how else to put it. She acts like she's trying to get him shot. Tell me, prove me wrong. This is asinine. This doesn't even impact me anymore. Do you know why it doesn't impact me anymore? Because these nutjobs have been calling Republicans Hitler for... Gotta think. Well, I know Bush. Bush Hitler. Remember that. And then I've crashed protests where I've literally seen them hang Bush in effigy and burn him. Literally have seen it with my own eyes. So I don't, does it really bother you anymore when they're like, oh, I like Hitler? Because it's like, you guys don't even know what Hitler is. If you fell over him in your living rooms, which is of all the places that he would be if he were alive, he'd probably be there. You wouldn't know who he was. If you think everything is Hitler. We're just in that stupid time of the election where Democrats are freaking out because I got polling for you. It's bad. I will say that the one strong point for Harris is women. We're going to have a conversation about that. I talked a little bit about it last night on Fox. We'll discuss it. So we're going to dive into all of this. This is like the worst oppo I've ever seen. This is the worst October surprise ever. I mean, like, at least be like Donald Trump was hiding aliens. I'd be like, ooh, you know, like Donald Trump, that you remember the whole Area 51 thing? Donald Trump was hiding aliens. Like, that would be a good oppo dump. That's not what they have, though. We're going to get into all of that. We also have this crazy story. You're going to want to hear about it. A woke doctor refused to publish a $10 million trans kid study that showed puberty blockers didn't help mental health. And they hit it. Your government. Yeah, we're going to talk about that as well. I like to have options. First of all, I am not at all scared of using lethal force on anyone who wants to FAFO. That's a consequence of FA, is that you could FO. And so as a result, I have zero. I'll sleep like a baby at night knowing that I have the ability to use lethal force on someone that would threaten me or my family. But there are instances where either the government or private property owners who don't want any protection from liability or litigation after the fact, when they want to disarm you and make you a statistic. Came across a restaurant that we used to go to just the other day. Now they got their gun-free zone signs in their restaurant. I don't go there. But what if I had to work there? Or what if I had to go into a building where I had to do business and I wasn't able to carry? I've got friends that deal with that in New York and D.C. all the time. They went out and got the Byrna SD. That's the most popular model from Byrna Gun. What Byrna Gun does is it fires chemical irritant projectiles from up to 50 feet away to deter and to stop threats in their tracks. And when you compare it to an average stun gun, which is like one or two shots, Byrna's got 5 rounds. So you have a lot more opportunities to stop threats. And it's effective And it's legal in all 50 states. You can have it shipped right to your front door. It doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. There's no background check. There's no permits. There's none of that stuff. Choose your color model, your accessories, your projectiles, everything. To learn more about the Byrna gun, visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
The supermarket doesn't lie. Latest reports show more people are changing where they're buying their groceries. Heading to box stores like Walmart goes to show that food and energy prices have yet to go down.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Home sales are on track for the worst year since 1995, according to the Wall Street Journal. Have you seen the economy? The September sales fell almost 4% from a year earlier. In 2023, home sales hit their lowest point in 30 years. They are on track for the worst. Persistently high home prices, elevated mortgage rates, they're all keeping potential home buyers on the sidelines. Boeing made satellites. This one exploded in space after experiencing an anomaly. Aliens? No, sadly, we're not that cool. Kane's like, it's just Boeing. That's all it is. U.S. Space Force is tracking debris in space after a satellite manufactured by Boeing exploded this week, according to the operator of said satellite. It's the Intelsat 33E satellite. It was launched in 2016. It provides communications across Europe, Asia, and Africa. It experienced an anomaly. Attempts were made to work with Boeing and repair said satellite, but Space Force confirmed that it had exploded. Some people were actually left without communication to power, but they were working to get it back on track. CNN must open up its books in a defamation lawsuit over the Afghanistan withdrawal reporting, according to a judge. Oh, look at that. And Honolulu is considering shipping its garbage overseas now that landfills are closing. So someone's actually going to buy our garbage or Hawaii's garbage. They're actually looking to send it overseas. That's nuts. Stick with us. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile, they're such good folks. They do such good work everywhere, whether it's, helping with raise the awareness on all of the immigration battles, or if they're working with pro-life causes, Second Amendment causes. They're just always there. And while all of that's happening, they're offering great service. So with Patriot Mobile right now, obviously, as you know, you can use code Dana and you can get free activation, but you can also get a free month of service using the same code. Normally dropping names is, gauche, but it's actually really cool right now because you can get a free month of service and free activation. They also have Patriot Mobile One phone, one carrier, and multiple networks where you can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities, and it allows you to manage both personal and business lines on a single device. And so you get access to all the major networks. They have a 100% US-based customer service team, and they just make it easy to switch. They have a plan tailor-made for you. So check them out. Switch today. They make it easy. Put your money where your mouth is and stop funding the left. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Switch to the real thing. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So welcome back. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, with you. I got to tell you, I saw this I'm pulling this up on my Twitter timeline, from Brian Stelter from CNN a little earlier, right? And so he has been pushing this out. They're trying to push this out like, oh my gosh, it's Trump that's the big authoritarian and the big fascist. And I feel like people need dictionaries. You know what? I've seen a lot of people are posting nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, these people need two things, Jesus and dictionaries. And everybody just keeps talking. Everybody keeps pushing. Oh, he's a fascist. He's a fascist. And Stelter comes out. I want you to listen to this audio soundbite and just stew in the irony of it. Watch.
The bigger story here. The bigger story is, are there a sizable number of Americans who would prefer an autocrat, who would prefer more of a dictatorial approach? Trump is speaking to those Americans. He's speaking to that impulse. We don't know how big of an audience in America actually wants that. But that's one of the questions in this election. And I think when John Kelly or Mark Milley raise these issues, it helps make that front and center in this election, in the final inning of this campaign.
So the first thing that got me was, what is with his wallpaper? What is that? What in the Laura Ashley 80s Hades is that? Number one. But excuse me, what? Democrats have, like, literally, not figuratively, have pushed censorship. They have demanded lockdowns. They have advocated for firearm confiscation. They have threatened parents who spoke up in schools. Is this, like, is this legit a joke? Like, what in the world is he talking about? What's he talking about here? None of that makes sense. They're the ones that have pushed for this the entire time. They're the ones that push for, oh, you got to pay your fair share, all this stuff. But yet they're trying to say that Trump is the fascist, that he's the guy who's a big authoritarian. Now, look, I don't disagree with you. I think that Republicans are big government. This is why I am a conservative. I'm not a libertarian. I'm a conservative. I don't think I can be categorized, and I kind of like that. Because I hate almost every elected everything. Just two steps above anarchy. And I just, there's big government aspects of every Republican administration that's ever been in office. 45 is no exception. Oh, before the left gets excited, you absolute morons. That's not an endorsement of Kamala Harris, because that's like everything I've ever disliked about any kind of politician or policy on roids. Okay, why would you go for something that you have some disagreements with to something that you totally 1,000% disagree entirely with? Explain that one to me. I mean, you're not going to get anything perfect. You're not going to get perfect government. You're not going to get a perfect elected representative. This is what brings me to the issue with Harris and Trump. And I talked a little bit about this last night. I've been working on a piece about it. It is the point of looking at some of these surveys. She is really doing, she's doing well with women. She's doing well with women. Meanwhile, Trump is taking all the dudes. He's got all the guys. He's getting all the men. He's getting the man vote. And so, and looking at, pulling up a couple of things that I have here. She's, These are particularly suburban women, looking at the suburban women, blah, blah, moms, you know, et cetera, white, black, doesn't really matter the race. But it's a demo that's attractive to Republicans, sure. But why is it that all these women are flocking to Kamala Harris? Why? Why does it seem, and it's not because I reject this idea that, oh, it's Trump's a sexist or something. It's just lazy. It's lazy. But Trump is getting the men and she's getting the women. Now, why is that? Why do you think that is? I have a theory. And I could go and look at, you know, all of the numbers that are that get into this. One of the theories that I have is that, and I touched on this, by the way, if you get my Substack newsletter, you saw some of this. One of the thoughts is that men for, I was trying to think actually when this started. I mean, Title IX, men have really been kicked around and abused, right? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not like trying to make you out to all be victims or something like that. But, you know, I mean, for real, like you guys have been put upon. You guys have been kicked around. You guys have been called toxic, you know, toxic masculinity, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. But I liked this piece that I read, and it was over at USA Today. Trump is also sending the message to young men that contrary to Harris's campaign directive, they are still desired and valued. And this, too, is an extraordinary memo to a generation of men who have been told by extremist feminists and others that they are unnecessary at best and predators at worst. I saw a post on X from this this woman who she was going on about how apparently there was like a freaky guy in the subway and she couldn't understand. He was like hitting on women. He was like drunk and hitting on the women in the subway. And she said the only other people that spoke up were a couple of other women with her. And she said the guys didn't say anything. And she went on this like rant on men and why don't men speak up and why don't men do this? And, you know, of course, she literally describes herself in her bio as like a third wave feminist. But OK, you want to know why men don't speak up? Look at Daniel Penny. That's why men don't speak up. That guy spoke up. He intervened. And they made Jordan Neely, who legit was a violent dude that like tried to kill an old woman. He tried to shove someone on the tracks and then he punched an old woman in the face, shattered her nose. And then they all want to make it out like he was just this innocent Michael Jackson impersonator. And they made Daniel Penny the guy that finally was prevailed upon after the cries of the people that Jordan Neely was harassing and threatening to get involved. Jordan Neely, who, you know, was a drug addict and is, you know, high as a kite, threatening people, threatening to kill him. You know, by nature of FO'd and ended up losing his life. And they're trying to blame Daniel Penny for it. And nobody's sticking up for Daniel Penny. I wanted to ask this broad, well, have you stuck up for him? Oh, no, you know what? There's always a tweet. She didn't. She was going on about how Jordan Neely was innocent and how this guy needs to go to jail. You're literally part of the problem. That's why men don't speak up. Because the matriarchy has ruined it. The matriarchy has ruined everything. Men are tired. And I got to tell you what, as someone who I tend to get along with more like guys, girls and guys than girl, girls. I see why. I wouldn't. Y'all, people are part of the problem. And there's just this idea that you in order to make yourself equal, you got to tear men down. Men have been living under that for, oh my gosh, I've been since I was a teenager, longer than that probably. That's all we've heard of. But what gets me is that these women who act like they're so damn smart and they're so empowered apparently aren't slick enough to catch on to the fact that every single election, the only thing that you are good enough for is to bring that abortion vote. Every election. I've literally said verbatim on this program, and I wrote it in my book. I went back and read it, that women are reduced to this. Nothing more than uteruses and vaginas. I've written that before. I've heard it repeated. But that's, and it's true. That's what Democrats have done to women. They make them, they've put them down to one uniform voting block, and you've got to stay in line. You've been told by men have been beaten upon and have been railed against by the left. And then now the left is shocked because they don't want to vote for the left. And they're going for a candidate that projects strength and projects charisma and also makes, I mean, honestly, I long for a return to the day where dudes can be dudes, because women can be women then. And we can judge, you know, we can be judged by our attributes, which are different from those than men. That's why men are flocking to Trump over Harris. And women, I was trying to think of this. I don't want all women to be blamed for the dumb choices of some. I get really aggravated about that because it's repurposing gun control logic. I'll explain here shortly. But ever since the Garden of Eden, when Eve was convinced by the snake to eat the apple, women too have been convinced to go for the apple by the snake. There's a reason why you're not the head of your household. Might be controversial to say, but you know I'm right. And if your feelings are hurt by it, I ain't for you. Go find somebody a little bit more PG. But it's true. For millennia, women have been conned by the snake into taking that apple. This election is no different. What have women been told? What have they been promised that's actually going to help them other than, oh, abortions, 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 abortion vote, abortion, 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 abortion. That's all they hear day in and day out. That is literally all I have ever heard from the Democrat Party from the time I was cognizant of elections. They have not changed the pitch at all. One iota. It's the same thing. Every 4 years, oh my gosh. No one banned abortion. No one's banning women from getting medical care, which I don't consider that medical care, but you know what I mean. No one's stopping women from doing this, but yet that's what women are told every election. And they're buying it. I watched a video the other day, Kane played on break. We don't have to get into it now, but some dude was on a college campus and he was asking these chicks, well, who are you voting for? And they're like, oh, Harris. And he's like, why? And they were saying, well, you know, because abortion. Can you like any, well, her stances and her positions, it's the same thing. Stop being stupid. Like, you're just saying the same thing to buy yourself a second for your brain to think while your mouth talks. What? Well, abortion. That's it. That's all you have. Abortion. something. I mean, you're going to throw away economic security, opportunity, prosperity, so that you can decide after you get pregnant through sexual recreation, you can decide, you know, what, at 8 or 9 months, whether or not you're going to keep your baby or not all the way up to then, because you're going to need all that extra time to think. That's what you're voting for? Because no one's banning anything. Goes back to the states. And look, I'll tell you this too. It's not Republicans' fault that Democrats played their base and the broads that vote for them like fiddles. They were so hyper-focused on the federal abortion push that they didn't do anything state level. And now they're blaming Republicans for their own lack of foresight and preparation. I think they did it on purpose, though, if you want me to be honest. I think that they did it on purpose so as to have a constant forever boogeyman. So that they can constantly be like, oh, women, abortion's a mistake. That's why they didn't do anything about it state by state. Nothing. The closest thing that they ever got to doing anything state by state was in Texas when they ran Wendy Davis as a tool to seed Democrat voters for future elections. That's all she and Beto O'Rourke ever were. And except Beto believed his own hype. Wendy Davis at least realized the game being played. But she that was at the time when Kermit Gosnell was busted over in Pennsylvania. And all that nasty stuff about his clinic came out. And I told you this yesterday. There were Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics fighting against increasing the standard of care in Texas. Like, heaven forbid. They wanted to be called a health facility, but they didn't think that they should have doctors with admitting privileges or, you know, actual, like, clean facilities or things. I mean, like, craziness. There are gas station bathrooms that are cleaner than some of the clinics that were operating. And, you know, heaven forbid, they didn't want to increase their standard of care. But yet it was all about women. They never cared about doing anything about fighting the state by state. And they did that as a purpose to play their base like fiddles. And then they can walk, then they can go back around on this election cycle and do it all over again. Any woman that is dumb enough to fall for this over and over and over again is a woman that is not worth my time to convert. I only got so much patience. Maybe some of you out there have more patience than I do. But I will tell you this. I do get, and spare me a moment, I do get really mad when I hear some of these red pill bros go out there and say, oh, women shouldn't get the right to vote. I'll slap the teeth out of your head. And here's why. I pay more taxes than you. I own more property than you. I contribute more financially than you do. I have done more to flip votes than you ever have thought about doing in all of your minuscule prepubescent years sitting on your ass bitching on X. So don't sit here and hold me responsible for the offenses of some of these other females. Just like you don't want to be held responsible for criminals misusing firearms, don't hold me responsible for dumb broads misusing their vote. Don't borrow the left's tactics and use it against people that would otherwise be allies. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
There are no cases in our district, our state, or elsewhere that supports the claim that trans kids using the bathroom of their identified gender creates increased risk of safety for other kids. There is no evidence of that claim.
Okay, I need the audience to please...
Discomfort.
Please... If you can't be quiet, we will need to recess, so please.
Discomfort with something we are not used to is understandable.
What?
But what is our response to that discomfort?
Yeah, people aren't used to it.
How do adults model an appropriate response? Is it to lean into it?
Lean into the rape.
Or is it to help our kids understand, help them understand, and de-escalate that discomfort with accurate information?
Rape is just discomfort, says Karen Lunchbox there. Rape is just discomfort. That's actually at what school was this? The school board. School board member. Oh my gosh, Rochester, New York. Yeah, they're attacking girls for fear-mongering about boys in the girls' bathroom. They're attacking girls for listening to their gut instinct. They're attacking girls for listening to their desire to want to be simply safe, right, and remain safe and be able to use their spaces with a degree of safety. That chick. Unbelievable. Well, discomfort. Well, wait a minute. If it causes the girls discomfort, and if the boy has discomfort using the boys' room and he's allowed to use the girls' room, his discomfort matters, but the girls' discomfort about a boy using their bathroom doesn't matter? Yeah. So you're a sexist pig. I mean, that's the only thing. You're a self-hating pig. I don't even feel being courteous. I can be a happy warrior and still be like very unvarnished truth with my observations, right? I tell you what, see, this is why I could not run for office. I would be a tyrant. Vote for me. Tyranny 2024. I mean, I will rain hell. That's what I would do. Like Galadriel with the one ring, nothing on what I would do. Nothing. I mean, all the things that Trump would use the military. Yep, I'd do all that. See, you could have somebody like me. We're going to talk about all this and more coming up in our second hour. Stick with us. Our partners over at ReadyWise, it's more important now than ever to take charge of your own safety and well-being. I mean, you've seen some of the stuff that's been happening. Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton. You saw FEMA's response. Do you want to be left at the mercy of FEMA, or would you rather prepare in advance knowing that your family can be sustained and nourished even if things go sideways with the weather? This is where ReadyWise comes in. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase and take advantage of the free and fast shipping on most of their orders and their offer of a 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one, $100 in value for $50. Two boxes with 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, breakfasts, drinks, the whole nine yards. You get the best taste. You get premium survival food that uses U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, so you know the chain of command for every bit of it, and you're supporting U.S. agriculture and U.S. jobs. And this is just perfect for emergencies, comfort in a crisis, and beyond. You don't have to sacrifice taste or quality for survival food, and that's what ReadyWise proves. 25-year shelf life as well. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour here. We're 12 days. I don't want to count the days anymore. Don't make me count the days anymore. We're getting close to the election. It's going to get silly. It's getting sillier season. This season. You can follow along. Obviously, if you're listening terrestrially, we have a simulcast as well. Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, where the chat happens. Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff going out there. I got a piece on the ladies that's coming out. And then we're going to get, I got some... A bulk of some of the latest polling already dropped, but we're going to go over some of the other stuff here coming up as well. We're going to get into I got immigration stuff, all kinds. But, you know, one of the things that I said last night, and we're going to have her on tomorrow, Gianna Jessen, who she's a woman who was literally born in an abortion clinic. Her mom was trying to abort her. She lived through saline solution, and her story is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard in my life. And I've been aware of her for quite some time. But I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, I was sitting there and I had, you know, in the seat, you know, you're doing the Fox hit. I was on with Laura Ingraham, and who's always very courteous. And sitting there in the seat and got my ear monitor in. And I was just listening to some of the program. I can't remember what audio she played, but it got me thinking about the rhetoric surrounding the abortion fight, because the left is, as we were talking about last hour, that's what they're trying to do to rope women in. And they prey upon women's fears to play them for the vote. They try to make women think without this, you're going to be entirely alone, etc. And to me, they build women up, or they try to build women up and say that you're empowered and you can do whatever you want. You can have it all. But then they systematically tear them down so that they feel like they can only be so empowered, but not empowered enough that they can go without big government and their hand in their lives. And to me, that's, really abusive. It's a super abusive thing. And I was thinking of Gianna Jessen because I feel like, and I don't mean to be sexist towards men. I'm not trying to, this is the reality of it. Just like I think, you know, men are better with, you know, hanging pictures on the walls than women are. I'll admit it. I'm better at loading the dishwasher though. There's just different, you know, things. We all have our gifts. I'm kind of joking. I'm, you know, absurd to highlight absurdity. But I think with this era, this environment, women will listen to other women, but they're not going to listen to men, particularly older men. And I think that all of the women that have been with the Republican Party, the GOP never gets credit for it. They never got credit for elevating women up to, you know, all of these other offices. They never got credit for people like Condoleezza Rice. You know, the Democrats wanted to act like she didn't exist. Democrats rail against misogyny except when they practice it. And they practice it when it comes to suppressing the involvement of women with their opponents, because they don't want people to think that their opponents value the input of women and value the contribution of women. So they pretend otherwise. And all of this makes it very difficult for women who are in the middle, who may not be as clued in or aware. And I think that that's a failing. I think that's an actual failing of someone to not be, to be so uninvolved that you have no idea who's running to write law about your life. And that's when you need to have people come in and speak to these women that are not like Trump or Vance. Vance did a good job, I thought, at the debate when he was going up against Tim Walz, when he was being very even-toned and seeming like a calm provider. That does resonate with women. But that only goes so far. Having someone out there to share with women the hope that can come from, you know, the alternative of abortion on demand for, you know, recreational purposes. I think having that counter the left's message is something that is lacking in the Republican side. And there are voices out there that could be elevated to share that, particularly Gianna Jessen. There's no one that can speak to this issue like she can. And she's going to be on tomorrow. If you're unfamiliar with her, you need to be. I think hardcore pro-lifers know her. I happened to catch a speech of hers one time, and I was blown away because she was born. She literally was born during an abortion, and she fought. She like was a fighter. But it affected her though. She has some long lasting effects from it. But she's so humble, and she's just, you know, she's just the way that she messages and the way that she can speak to women. I think that Trump would be super smart to have her on the campaign trail with him to speak to that issue specifically in these battleground states. Women would listen to that. Women would listen to one of their own talk about their circumstances and what they came through. And it is such a unique perspective that Gianna has, because she lived through it. You want to know who the voice of the babies are? It's hers. They really, really need to get her. They also need to have people like Patty Morin on, the mother of one of the young girls who was killed by illegal immigrants, or Alexis Nungri, the mother of Jocelyn Nungri. Have that mother on to talk about the dangers of unfettered illegal immigration. Share those stories from those women, because see, it's more than just abortion and all of that that women are concerned about. Women have the same fears and concerns as the men. And this is what also is true. We have the same fears and concerns, but we may internalize it or interpret it differently for us because we are women, right? One of the first things, and this is not a, and this is just men and women being different. And I've had these conversations with my friends before. When you see international instability, whether it's in the Middle East or elsewhere, whatever, you know, usually you have moms and dads talk about it. Dads like, oh man, you know, thinking about the resources it'll cost. And one of the first things that moms think of is if you have military age sons at home, oh my gosh, what does it mean for them? See, it's all of these issues. What does it mean for moms when you can't afford things anymore? What does it mean for you moms if you can't pay your kids' medical bills? If you can't buy the right kind of, you know, whole foods in order to feed your kids on an unprocessed diet? I mean, all of this stuff. This is what needs to be spoken to. The left wants to sit here and hide behind things like cat ladies and all of that. Those are funny sound bites that play to the base, but we're past the base now. This is when you're going for the margins. And you got to swing for the margins. And I would hate to think that it is a bunch of, it's the weakness of women that, the left is preying upon that would decide the fate of this election. Speaking of immigration, this is crazy. I was at this event. It was James O'Keefe's Line in the Sand, this movie that he came out with, which is nuts, by the way. Nuts. You know the death train? What's the Spanish word for train, Kane? Something de la muerte. It's the train of death that runs through. That runs through, yes.
Tren de la muerte.
Thank you. Thank you, Juan. That I did not realize the pathway of that train and the amount of ground that covers. Have you guys heard about the train that's going through, goes through Mexico, and it like starts, you know, almost towards like, you know, Central America, and it goes through all these places, and you have people at different stops, these Mexican nationals or people who illegally enter Mexico from Venezuela and elsewhere, and then they ride on top of this train and they go up to the southern border. James got on the train. He literally rode in a rock pit in the train, open top rock pit in the train, going through Mexico on this to get footage and to see how unbelievably prevalent it was. And he met people along the way that literally have become indentured servants for the drug cartels. One of the reasons why a lot of these illegal immigrants know where they're going when they go across the border and they're like, you know, where are you going? You know, gracias, et cetera. You know, and they're like, oh, I'll be going to North Carolina, or I'm going to New Jersey, or I'm going here. Well, the cartels arranged it. They go there to work for the cartels. And they kick back money to the cartels or they do cartel work. That's one of the reasons that they know. Now, that's not for all of them, but that was for a significant portion of the ones that James was talking to. The one Venezuelan gang, the Tren de Aragua gang that's in, everybody's been talking about it. It's all over Texas. They're actually in our county as well. I was talking to our sheriff. They are in Tarrant County, which is the largest red urban county in America, the last large red urban county in America, which is why Democrats have been fixated on flipping this county, but it is the most conservative county in Texas. And this Venezuelan gang is here. And I was talking to our sheriff, Sheriff Bill Wayburn. He's been testifying about all of this. They said that, I mean, this organization has grown. There have literally been houses where they have raided them and have rescued minors that were being sold into human trafficking. Like, when I say minors, I mean like 14 years old. And it is, I mean, TDA is in this county. And it's unbelievable when you consider how prevalent this is and how much it has metastasized. They said that, and Wayburn's been begging the federal government to secure the southern border because they've been coming. Our taxpayers, by the way, here in our county, they said that intel from Venezuela shows that because of the allowance of all of the illegal immigration, particularly from the prison population of Venezuela, their prison population has been reduced by over 25% in Venezuela because of this. And that was something that was further underscored by James's film, because when he was going in, I did not realize the Mexican nationals, so like the immigrants in Mexico that wanted to come and illegally enter in the United States, hated Venezuelans. And the Mexican nationals and the federales were looking for Venezuelans because they're like, oh, they're from prisons. The way all of them were like, yeah, most of them are from prisons. Most of them are in gangs. Most of them are involved in like violent crimes and all that. So when they detain these immigrants before they are allowed to, before they illegally cross over, if they find the ones that they find who are Venezuelan, they get real rough with, because they said they get rough with them. That's crazy. Our county pays $24,000 per day to house illegal aliens. Can you know that?
No.
$24,000. This is my county.
Good Lord.
Unbelievable.
Where's that money come from?
Taxpayers. taxpayers. Pretty unbelievable. So now they're involved in all kinds of human trafficking. Of the Venezuelan gang activity, 3,000 specifically related to Venezuelan gangs, 3,000 alone arrested. I'm not talking about, you know, Mexicans coming over, Colombians coming over, or other average, you know, non-gang Venezuelans. 3,000 of them are involved in crime or in the gangs or gang adjacent. When you can't even be safe in your own county, isn't that an issue? Not just for men, but also for women. When you hear Kamala Harris talk, when you hear Tim Walz talk, can you count on them to keep your family safe? That's the messaging that needs to be pushed forward. I know it's all for sound bites. And look, believe me, I love fighting more than anybody could ever imagine. These people merely adopted it. I was born in it. But I want to win. And you need to modify your messaging in order to do so. And I'm telling you, when you start talking to these women about their concerns, real concerns, and you get past this shallow nonsense of abortion, a lot of them will open their eyes. But it needs to be more than just, you know, red meat platitudes and that. And I don't disservice women by doing what Democrats do and just keeping it to abortion. These women are concerned. Women are concerned about all these issues, and Republicans can best speak to that.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, crock pots. How do you, like, burn your house down with a crock pot? Right. I mean, it's, like, dumb proof.
Low and slow.
Let yourself go. The city of Goldsboro Fire Department says that a crock pot caused a home fire late Monday night. And I have no idea how this happened. They did share slow cooker safety tips. I mean, you literally, I don't know how, unless you're like, well, I'm going to go put a bunch of stuff by it, like right on top of it, make sure it catches fire, and I'll turn it up real. I mean, I just don't understand how it catch. I don't know how you do it.
How long have we had crock pots in society?
Cave people had them.
Yeah, so I don't know why
this
is a problem.
They came from the cave people.
Just now popping up.
Yeah, like how is this? I don't get it, but now it's like a thing. You're supposed to watch it. Brr, brr, brr. A judge was arrested over aggressive handshake with a police chief in Bath. This was in Britain. A judge was arrested following a confrontation with a police chief at a meeting. And apparently they said that the judge, it was almost like they were fighting, handshake fighting. And the dumbing down of America, I went long last segment. I apologize. I'll make it up for you. But we got more to come. Stick with us. Our partners bringing you radio you don't have to pay for. Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee that is out there. I clearly have had a lot. Actually, I haven't. I just had a real strong cup today. What did I have today? They have like the best. They have the best roast, the best blends out there. So they have, right now they have Freedom Roast. And if you, let me put it like this. Imagine sipping a cup of coffee that embodies the spirit of freedom and tradition, a blend that our founding fathers would be proud of. That's the Freedom Roast. Freedom Roast. It's Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee. Freedom Roast. It's a smooth medium roast that offers sweet tasting notes of milk chocolate and vanilla. Yum. Complemented by a hint of cinnamon and a buttery finish. Every sip is a celebration of liberty. Liberty. And a tribute to those who fought for our nation. BlackRifleCoffee.com. It's the Freedom Roast. It's smooth. It's full of flavor. It's delicious. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And of course, veteran-owned, veteran-run, dedicated to their mission of supporting veterans and first responders. They got a whole bean K-cup ready to drink, the beans. They got apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Everything you need for the perfect brew. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com. And taste other top-shelf roasts like Just Black and Silence or Smooth. Whatever you decide, you get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off with code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the second hour now. And I saw this tweet last night from Mark Cuban, who had a little bit of a meltdown over immigration yesterday. And I thought he tried to make this point and said, let's take a poll. A grandma is undocumented. She has lived in the USA 30 years, not even a ticket. She has four kids, all American born, as are her 12 grandkids. Okay, so, I mean, this is a purposefully stupid hypothetical that he throws out. And it's not even a case that is representative of the entirety of the problem. I mean, just over the past few years, you've had, what, 10 million, just shy of 10 million people who have illegally entered the country. You're looking at, I think, what, just last year, it was over 1.5 million who illegally entered the country. About 75 to 80% of those who illegally entered the country have been men. Young men. I mean, these are all, that's a, I mean, why he purposefully uses this example to be some sort of sympathy trick. And I made the point, like, in 30 years, she couldn't have begun the process of legally immigrating, even with the Dreamers. I mean, what excuses can I use to ignore laws that I dislike? I mean, if she had four kids born in the US of A and she had 12 grandkids in the US of A and they can petition for her, and that actually you can do that. And that's a very, in fact, some people have criticized and said that that's like, you know, if you're 21 years old, and obviously her four kids would have been 21 or up if they've, you know, old enough to have like all these grandkids, you know, hypothetically, then yeah, then you can absolutely have a kid petition. But this is so stupid because it's a stupid hypothetical. And it's not representative of the millions of people that are coming across that are young dudes. And furthermore, even if it is a even if it wasn't an outlier, the point remains. She couldn't have begun the process. Her kids couldn't have begun the process. You know, you can do all this other stuff, but do that. I mean, he purposefully uses the most sympathetic case that he can think of, knowing that it doesn't represent the vast majority of people who illegally enter. And I don't care how sympathetic someone is. There is law. There are things that are laws and things that are not laws. We are a nation of laws. That is the very definition of our republic. You don't get to violate laws just because someone wants to present a sympathetic hypothetical. I mean, this is crazy. What laws do I get to ignore then? Can I ignore all the ATF's laws regarding NFA items? I mean, what about if you wanted to ignore laws about drunk driving? I mean, there's laws of law, correct? This is so stupid. It's either a law or it's not. In 2023, they released this report. The New York Post has this story about how the eye-watering financial cost of the illegal immigration crisis has hit $150 billion last year. Federation for American Immigration Reform, $67 billion came from the federal government, but the vast majority of it is shouldered by state and local taxpayers. They were looking at the places where that, you know, obviously the people that get the most funds in dealing with this, you know, you're looking at New York, you're looking at places like LA, Philly. The NGOs that get the most funds, the Catholic Charities. This is another thing that I noticed, and I had experiences with this myself. in James's film, Line in the Sand, there were all of these, because they act as an NGO and they get millions of dollars. For instance, the Catholic Charities of the Diocese of San Diego got $41 million. The one in San Antonio got $28 million. These are federal taxpayer dollars. The one in RGV, Rio Grande Valley Catholic Charities, got $16 million. And there are other NGOs, but they get some of the most money. And the Catholic Charities that was in San Diego when James was doing his expose, Line in the Sand, they were helping move around illegal immigrants. No one was paying attention as to whether or not people were being trafficked or anything like that. They make money off of it. It is a big money-making scheme. In fact, one of the drug tunnels that they had carved out, or one of the cartel tunnels to traffic in humans and drugs, went up underneath by a church in Texas, Catholic Church in Texas. Now, for the dimwits out there who want to act like this criticism is some sort of universal criticism of Catholicism, I'm specifically talking about Catholic Charities, specifically. So if you read with pictures, then maybe don't respond to me talking about this, because I just have zero patience for it and I have zero courtesy. I get so aggravated about this stuff. I've been down there before. I've literally talked to people at Catholic Charities down in McAllen, Texas. And I went down there once, and one of them got into an argument with me and then carried it over on Twitter. This was like 9 years, eight or 9 years ago. Went down there, and I went down there to kind of see like what was going on, like what was the processing like. When Glenn Beck went down there at the time, I went with him. And there were a lot of people who were criticizing what he was doing, acting like, oh, you're going down there to help. He went down there because he was writing checks to Border Patrol, because that was when it came out that they were using their own money to buy resources for the kids of these illegal immigrants that were being drug over by coyotes. And he was helping the medical professionals that were of their own time and money setting up a medical van so that the swarms of people who were illegally coming into the country through McAllen weren't going to their hospitals to overwhelm their facilities, because that was about the time that Obama and Biden were trying to use the deluge of people coming across the border, and the really they were just bogging down all of the local resources. They were trying to use that as an argument for greater federal oversight. And so there were a lot of people in these local communities that didn't want that, because it was the federal involvement that made all of this a problem in the first place. So they were trying to push back on that and handle it themselves so that they couldn't be exploited and held up as an example of why more federal involvement and more federal taxpayer dollars were needed. And when we were down there, one of the places we went to was Catholic Charities. I was shocked. When I went in, I took pictures. I was shocked. I shared them online. I was shocked when I went in and I saw they were sending people where there had been work, and nobody could tell me like how the work had been set up either. That was the thing that was really weird. I was down at Ted Cruz was down there. We were trying to figure out, okay, well, how do you know that they're going to go to this place? Oh, they have family here. Did you vet this family? Do you know that this, I was just curious, like what makes you so sure if someone's coming in through McAllen and you're sending them to like New Jersey, you're positive they have family there? You've been able to vet it? Did you vet it with another Catholic Charities there? Oh, no. It was weird. And then they got really aggravated about it. And I made the point, I'm like, well, doesn't this encourage a further disregard of the law? And that's when one of these workers with Catholic Charities got really sassy with me there. And then she like kept it going and got really very unchristian. Like she was dropping F-bombs and all this kind of stuff at me on X, you know, with your Catholic Charities in your handle and all this stuff, going off on me because I dared to criticize the exacerbation of the problem that they were contributing to by encouraging this just complete wanton lawlessness at the southern border and aiding it, because and then making money off of it from taxpayers like me and you, because they make money off of this. And they try to do it under the guise of Christ, which, you know, get behind me, Satan. Millions of dollars. They get millions of dollars. Oh, but don't you dare criticize it because they got the Catholic Charities name on it. You're not supposed to criticize it. Look, it's churchy related. Can't criticize. You're criticizing the Lord. I've had people try to use that argument with me. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and give unto God what is God's. And you're supposed to follow the laws and the lawmakers of your day. as God has instituted them. I mean, we can sit here and play scripture tit for tat. I am prepared to do that all day long. I was really shocked when we were down there. Blown away. Nobody was vetting anybody. Nobody was vetting. Yeah. One of the things, too, is that if somebody comes in, they come in illegally and they got drug issues. I mean, they'll you know, if there were people helping score some of these people a quick hit before they load them up on a bus, send them out to wherever. You know, like Jesus would do. So insane. And this is, and it's making it worse. The taxpayer dollars are going to these NGOs. They're not going to offset the taxpayer for what the taxpayer is having to foot out. The taxpayer is paying for this. They're literally putting money in the pocket. They're enriching these NGOs. We are all enriching these NGOs. Millions and millions of dollars. Every single one of these NGOs, everyone without exception, gets federal dollars. Because it's a grift. In the meantime, Denver City Council, they had to cut almost $50 million from their budget. That's pretty much just what the Diocese of San Diego, their Catholic Charities group, got in taxpayer funds for illegal immigration. Unbelievable. They had to cut that was $45 million from their budget. That includes $8.4 million from their police, $2.5 million from their fire department. Their bill for illegal immigration has been $90 million in 2023. New York City, they had to cut their agencies $2.3 billion. Because, you know, you can't deport anybody. So where are they going to go? It is an invasion. It is a war without firing a single shot. It is all purposefully designed that way. I am unconvinced and cannot be prevailed upon to see it any other way. When you have this many, all the people at the border, and by the way, I will tell you, the time that I was down there, I saw only a small fraction, and they came through an entirely different portion of the border, by the way, that were kids. And every single one of those people, they were basically indentured servants for the cartel. And they had to send money back because we were talking to people. The others that came through these other entryways were all young men. There was a processing center that, and this, again, this was like 8-9 years ago. 100% of it was all young men. I was looking for women, kids, not one. That is the vast majority. Vast majority. Federal government in 2023, excuse me, over $6 billion earmarked for education. This is all for illegal immigration. $25 billion for medical costs. We have veterans here who struggle to pay for basic things, and we spent $25 billion for medical costs for people who entered the country illegally. I am without words. The report is 91 pages. It's titled The Fiscal Burden of Illegal Immigration on the United States Taxpayers 2023. By the way, and this is just the federal stuff. State and local spending, they warn, is higher. So you have people who come over illegally. They're accommodated, free everything, at the expense of the people who worked to make it, to build the infrastructure and build the towns and keep things running. And then the people who object are called xenophobic. I think it's actually the xenophobia is coming from the people who are demanding that these people eat it all up. Just, this is what, this is the, you got a $1 billion budget gap in Chicago because of illegal immigration. This is literally what, this is where our money's going. This is where it's going. And there's no plan from the left on how, they don't want to stop this. They don't want to stop the closing. They don't want to close the border. You know, Border Patrol, they're spread way too thin to possibly do anything about that. And they're not allowed to. Even if they were, they're not allowed to. They can't deport anybody. They can barely detain them. They can't even detain them. They just have to process them and let them go. We have more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man accused of being a serial church burglar used his phone to search, quote, where do church keep money, police say. Other searches included, quote, do churches have safes, S-A-F-E apostrophe S, like plural, and also, quote, how to cut shirt into a mask, end quote. That is Jeremy Lang, a 20-year-old who was arrested last week. He burglarized a Pensacola church, according to the police. Seven churches in the area were burglarized between September 24th and October 12th. And that search of his cell phone, well, they found all those internet searches. Where do church keep money? Where do church keep money indeed? And he was charged with burglary, drug possession, obstructing justice, gun and burglary tools possessions, and in a bunch of other charges, including five church burglary and criminal mischief charges, three counts of larceny, one count of motor vehicle burglary. He is presently jailed on $270,000 bond. Where do police keep criminals?
In the jails, apostrophe S.
In the jails. J-A-I-L apostrophe S. In the jails. That's right. Oh, boy. Oh, this is not how to solve this problem. A Florida woman pulls a gun on an Uber driver who wouldn't let her dog in the car. What? Okay, some people don't like dogs in their cars. I get it, you know, but this is not how you do it. So apparently, according to Fox 13, an Uber driver in Polk County was dropping off passengers, and this woman became irate because the Uber driver was dropping off passengers at 8 p.m. They asked if they could buy another ride and have their friend ride with them. She tried to get in her car with the dog. The Uber driver said he can't have the animal in his vehicle. I get it, because people have allergies and all this stuff. So she literally grabbed her purse and pulled a gun. Then the driver grabbed his cell phone. The driver tried to get away, but she, Jasia Owens, stopped him from leaving. Investigators say he flagged down a bystander when he was able to leave. They found a 9mm SIG under a vehicle in the driveway of a nearby home. She's got if you were wondering if she had a long criminal history, yes, it does. It includes aggravated assault, grand larceny, and battery. And then she was charged with armed robbery, a life felony. How is she owning a dog? Right? Like, I would just think that dog's probably seen some stuff. Just, you know, saying. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
Some voters, though, might ask, you've been in the White House for 4 years. You were vice president, not the president. But why wasn't any of that done over the last 4 years?
Well, there was a lot that was done, but there's more to do, Anderson. And I'm pointing out things that need to be done, that haven't been done, but need to be done.
There are things that weren't done, but were also needed to be done, and things, stuff that. Unburdened by the things that weren't done, by doing the things that weren't done and making them things that are done, is that thing. You know, if the person interviewing her is just silent, she just will keep talking. It's hysterical. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. Oh, man. She lost Dana Bash last night. Audio soundbite 12. She did not do well this town hall. She lost her. Listen, this is bad.
I'll just tell you what I'm hearing from people who I have been talking to. And that is that if her goal was to close the deal, they're not sure she did that. And, you know, some people have asked, is she being held to a different standard? Maybe, but that's maybe the world that she's living in. And on the question of who she is, people are understanding that a little bit more. But what she will do, the question about her legislative priorities, name one, there wasn't one. You know, some more of her personality and her sort of character questions about your weaknesses or what mistakes did you make? Not necessarily the answers there.
Yeah, they weren't there. I mean, it was just a really bad. It was bad. There's no other way to put it. It was bad. It was just so bad. How is this so bad? Oh, my gosh. It was so bad. I don't know. They were in, what was it? Chester Township. She had 75 minutes. How can you not sell yourself in 75 minutes? And Kane was right. This was supposed to be like her. Well, I don't know if the campaign was presenting it this way. Media definitely was. Her closing argument. I mean, this is like the swing state of swing states. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't. This was so bad. I think that they realized just how horrible of a candidate she is while it was happening. But it was they all had to keep their poker face because I think they would rather have this than they just have a personal dislike of Trump. I don't know anybody in the audience that seemed enthusiastic. The analysis following her appearance didn't seem enthusiastic. Nobody walked away from this thinking that she had it in the bag and that she did well. Nobody. None of the talking heads at CNN. I mean, she's been, how long has she been doing this now? A couple months. And all she has, if you're asking her, well, what's your policy on this? But Trump. But okay, that doesn't make sense. What is your policy on, you know, the economy? But Trump. What is your policy with regards to foreign policy? But Trump. Everything is but Trump with her. Nothing is her own. She has nothing. Nothing. There's nothing. I mean, it's actually embarrassing. I mean, she's got to have more than this. Like Audio Soundbite 7. This is what her response. This was so bad. Oh my gosh. Just play it. Oh gosh.
So I may not be quick to have the answer as soon as you ask it about a specific policy issue sometimes, because I'm going to want to research it. I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes, I confess. So I may not be.
Oh, my. Give me a second. Kind of a nerd sometimes. What does that have to, you're not. That's like a chick putting on glasses and thinking that that alone makes her a nerd. No, you're not a nerd. This is part of your job. You're supposed to know these things, not learn them on the job. You may not have the answer. I mean, I understand that maybe you need help from advisors in terms of the best strategy because you're trying to see what the best strategy is, but not because you don't know what the answer would be. You should at least have an answer. I have to research things. What would you have to research? Is that what she couldn't answer on tax policy?
Yep.
I'm a nerd like that. Oh, you're a look like I don't have to research these things for my job. I'm a nerd like that because I want to know what the hell I'm talking about before I do law on it. Oh, my gosh. And then she laughs. Nobody else laughed. Did you know it? Mm-hmm. Notice that nobody else laughed. That is so awkward. Really bad. Really bad. All of this was horrible. She just, it was word salad. Even Van Jones claimed it was like complaining about it. And there is 75 minutes of not answering a question. More salad than a salad bar. And I don't know. I mean, He, like Anderson Cooper, kind of gently pressed back on her on some things. But then when he was asking her about price gouging, there was a point when she was like, well, Trump didn't want to come out to the CNN town hall, which was not an answer to. That's not an answer to that. That's, again, it's another but Trump. It was another but Trump moment. And it just if you have to stop and take a moment to research something, that also means that you're not quick enough on your feet, because sometimes you have to make really quick decisions. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of a nerd. Got to research it. Oh my gosh. I had a friend go ask if she ever took an extemporaneous speech class at any point during her college career. No way she did. There's no way. No way. She cannot think on her. She's not quick-witted. She is not a quick-witted thinker. She can't act on her feet. She just can't do it. I mean, this is, it's just bad. It was bad. I think that it was so bad. It was bad when she was, I'm looking at some of the audio we have, when they were talking about her her immigration. Like, for instance, this was, was this audio soundbite, I think this was 3, when she was flip-flopping back and forth on it.
We'll have the flashback and the yesterday.
Okay, do the yesterday.
Let me be very clear. I'm not going to vote for a wall under any circumstances. I am not for a wall. They're not jumping over walls. So the idea that we're going to sell this thing to the American public and require the taxpayers of our country to pay $5 billion for something that will not deliver what he is suggesting we need is ridiculous, and I will not support it.
It does call for $650 million that was earmarked under Trump to actually still go to build the wall.
I'm not afraid of good ideas where they occur.
You know, so you don't think it's stupid anymore?
I think what he did and how he did it did not make much sense, because he actually didn't do much of anything. I just talked about that wall, right? We just talked about it. He didn't actually do much of anything.
But you do want to build some wall.
I want to strengthen our border.
That's not what he was asking. He could not get her. He could not get, I mean, you know, I'm sure you're shocked, an answer from her on this. But you want to build some wall, because you were talking about how dumb it is, and now you're saying you want to do it. I just want to secure our border. Does that include building a wall? Yes or no? It's, how do you not? I would not have let her gone. I would have dragged her out on that. There's no way. I would have just been like, we're going to stay here all damn day for the whole 75 minutes until you answer this question. And we're going to make it as uncomfortable as possible. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A voter asked her about who's going to pay for what in terms of subsidies to, I mean, I just gave you last hour, we went through how many billions we're paying just fiscal year 23, the numbers that came out. Listen to this. This was a voter question to her last night.
Regarding the rapid increase in the migrant population, how will you ensure that every immigrant is integrated into American society safely? What benefits and subsidies will you provide them with? And how long will these benefits and subsidies last for an individual? Most importantly, will the American citizens' taxes pay for these benefits and subsidies? And if so, how much money will be allocated?
Well, thank you, Jackson. Let's start with this. America's immigration system is broken, and it needs to be fixed.
Platitudes.
And it's been broken for a long time.
No one's talking about that.
And
how do you
part of what we need to do is always prioritize what we need to do to strengthen our border. I will tell you, I'm the only person in this race among the two choices that voters have. I've personally prosecuted transnational criminal organizations.
You haven't.
In the trafficking of guns, drugs, and human beings. I have spent a significant part of my career making sure that our border
is
secure.
Answer the question.
And that we do not allow criminals in, and we don't allow that kind of trafficking to happen and come into our country. And as the...
Oh, my gosh.
As my opponent has proven himself,
he
would prefer
not an
to
answer.
Run on the problem instead of fix the problem.
What the hell does this mean? She said, we're going to prioritize what we need to do to fix the border.
Yeah, what is that?
And that is? That is what? What is that? She didn't answer his question at all. At all. Andy McCarthy wrote about her greatly exaggerated prosecutorial record. And it is. She keeps saying that she's done all this stuff and she hasn't. There's some really good stuff over at NRO about that. But she, I mean, it's bad. She, her overstatements, she didn't do any of that stuff that she talks about. I mean, this stuff is public. I don't even know what. That was not an answer. And that was pretty much like the whole, I mean, even Van Jones, this is what audio soundbite 14. Listen to this.
Does she seem like somebody who is going to take seriously the problems of ordinary people and try to get an answer? And I think she passed that test. I think that the word salad stuff gets on my nerves. I think that some of the evasions are not necessary. But when she's talking about trying to get you a house, I believe
salad,
her.
Because it's not the word. That's her answer with everything is word salad. She has no answers. Oh, my gosh. How do you not answer that dude's question? How much money are you going to spend on it? Well, but Trump, and we got to prioritize the things that we've got to do at the border. Well, no, Sherlock. What in the world? That's her answer. That was the whole town hall. I'm not exaggerating. That was literally the entire town hall. There is not. No.
This is who the Democrats gave.
I'm literally looking at questions and transcript. She did not answer a single question. 75 minutes. Can you imagine? Okay, hold up. Can you imagine like being on the production team for that whole event? How you would probably want to drown yourself after that, after watching that, because it's so, you're so bored. You're bored out of your mind. She's not offering you anything new. It's a bunch of crazy, kooky word salad, and it's just, oh my heavens.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Washington College leaves its cursive logo behind because they said that it's too hard to read anymore because no one can read cursive because everybody's dumb. That's an actual headline. Not the everybody's dumb part. I added that because it's true. Nine monkeys mysteriously died at Hong Kong Zoo. I feel like this was that movie with Brad Pitt and 12 monkeys or something like that. The mammal section is temporarily closed. They're testing animals at Hong Kong's oldest zoological park. They're keeping a close watch. There's any monkey that is behaving unusually, because that's usually what happens. And then it's the white-faced Saki species, nine of them. That's kind of crazy. The one was a DeBrazza's monkey, a common squirrel monkey, some weird monkeys. Anyway, they're all sick. Something's happening at the zoo there. There you go. I mean, I need to know specifically what time. I don't know. They're weird monkeys that nobody's never heard of. Let's see. This is a new level of hangry. An Everett man was accused of threatening to kill and eat two people. He looks like the type of dude who would actually do it. A Bedford County man, he's behind bars. He threatened to kill and eat two people. He was visiting a 41-year-old at his home. He threatened to kill him and himself and anyone who walks in or leaves. He was swinging axes at people. He also got an axe stuck in a wooden railing. He's charged with multiple offenses. They did finally arrest him, and he looks absolutely crazy. Hangry. Two more large-scale butter thefts. I had to say this very slowly. Butter thefts. This was in... Where is this? Where is Gulliff? Kane. Gulliff today. Wait. I'm Googling. Oh, it's Canada. It's in Canada. It's in Canada. So they had two big butter thefts from North End, from grocery stores. They said two dudes entered and they placed a number of items in a cart. Three cases of butter. $936 for three cases of this butter. What is in it? And they said that the dudes were about 40 years old. They left. They entered another business. They placed four cases of butter. That was $958. So you're looking at several thousands of dollars of theft of butter, just particularly that type of butter. And the police there in Canada are like, we don't know if it's all related. Sounds like it is. And also why? Like, why specifically? I don't know. They didn't even tell you what type of butter it was. China has presented a 98-mile road entirely built by robots. I don't believe it. I don't believe anything that comes out. They said it's done by 10 machines and no humans at all. Sure, it'll be safe because there are still machines that the CCP made. So I don't know how safe it's going to be. I don't know. Japanese workers are turning to resignation agencies to quit their jobs because they refused. That's like a whole thing over there. Like when you work, you're like, there's like a whole class of people. You devote your whole life to your job. Very interesting story. So they actually have firms like leave their jobs for them. Interesting. Stick with us. More in store, including Doug slapping a woman.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Songs dedicated to Doug Emhoff. It's Prodigies. Smack My Lady Up. That's what it's called. Sure.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Smack up my lady. Smack my lady up. I can't say what it is. We'll get complaints. Headline. Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, slapped me in the face so hard I spun around. I'm disgusted by his fake perfect spouse persona. The ex-girlfriend has publicly spoken out now, finally. It was a 2012 event. By the way, that's not that long ago in the grand scheme of things. 2012 is when it happened. People act like he and Kamala have been married for like decades. It's actually, what, just in 2016, wasn't it? They're brand new. So it was at a celebrity event. It was at Cannes Film Festival in France. They were in the valet line and he slapped her. They're only naming her as Jane. She didn't want to comment on record, but his denial and his hypocrisy, she's like, it's too much. She said he's being held out to be the antithesis of who he actually is, and it's shocking. And there are pictures of them together at this AMFAR gala in the south of France. She had booked tickets for them to attend the previous month, and he went with her, and her friends apparently corroborate it. He cheated on his first wife, remember, with the daughter's nanny that he impregnated. And then now he was there were former coworkers of his coming out saying, detailing harassment. And now this. Now the ex-girlfriend comes out. Nobody in the left wants to acknowledge this. They came out with this story from this chick who lied about this for, I don't know. She went and said that she went to Jeffrey Epstein's house in 1993, except he didn't live in that house until 1996. And she apparently got some other details wrong. And she was trying to say that, oh, and then we went to Donald Trump's house. And why would you come out with that now? Why didn't you? I mean, it's just very convenient. It's just, they're all over that. They're all over the false accusation about Trump's remarks over this military burial and how the family of the military member and all of the people that were involved all denied that that ever happened. Yet the press ran with it anyway. Now they're silent on this. Oh my gosh, they're so quiet. Believe all women, right? Where are all the, where's CNN or MSNBC reaching out to Jane, the ex-girlfriend of Doug Emhoff? She said, I mean, she was giving some pretty, she got very detailed. And she said that he was just aggressive and that's what ended up happening. And she was able to provide the itinerary, everything to corroborate. She had girl has receipts. I believe he slapped her. She's got all kinds of receipts. So she said that they had been at this thing, you know, this event, and I guess he was, she said it was 3 a.m. They joined this long, chaotic line for a taxi outside of the Hotel du Cap. It was in southern France, it's where they had the Cannes Film Festival, so it's in, you know, the French Riviera. She said that she's had to go to the valet and give them $100 to get out of the line. And that, they had all kinds of receipts. She said she put her hand on the valet's shoulder with her $100. Could you get my car as soon as possible? And she said apparently Doug misinterpreted that. He got out of line. He came up, turned her around, caught her off guard, and slapped her so hard she spun around. She said there had been no fight, no argument, none of that. And, you know, she said, and she said, I saw his dark side. His mask dropped. So that, I mean, is pretty, you don't do that and act like that out of nowhere. That's a pattern of behavior. Being a jackwagon like that and being abusive towards women is a pattern. You don't just all of a sudden do it. There's a pattern to it. And for him to, I mean, I kind of wonder if this isn't the only time that he ever did it. But nobody's asking him any questions. Nobody in the left wants to talk about it. I think that's one of the reasons why they came out with the stupid, lame stories with the John Kelly stuff and these other things, because I think they knew that this was coming. Honestly. Why is it that all the dudes on the left who always say that they're feminists, they're the ones who seem to be the most violent? But nobody's talking about this. Kind of interesting, is it not? No, instead he's like actually Hitler. And we got the groped story. I mean, you knew this was happening. That story's just fallen apart so much. It's the same reporters. It's the same allegations, the same thing that they tried to do back in 2016. They just try to get new people to do it. And it's, I mean, bad. They had, what is it? They literally just decided to just swap out names and keep up the same thing. They've done this to Clarence Thomas. They've done it to Kavanaugh. Now they're doing it with Trump again. I don't know. I don't, but, and I saw the lady talking and it said she was a model at some point. I'm thinking when, but okay. No. And then you have the Atlantic thing. The General Kelly thing. This is pretty amazing that someone could sit here and go, well, he's literally Hitler, or he's like Hitler, and he admired Hitler. Why did you serve with him then? If you thought that he admired Hitler, why did you serve with him? Why did John Kelly continue working with him? Nobody will, I don't think anybody's ever asked that question. His alleged remarks, so that he was so upset that he stayed silent for 6 years and said nothing for 6 years. And then here we're a week and a half out from a presidential election. And then he decides, oh yeah, by the way, that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I think some of these people are just, they have hurt feelings because they were criticized or they were jettisoned. And I think that's what some of this is. You don't have to sit here and lie to this extent. So there's only really two ways that you can look at this. So if John Kelly is saying that Trump admired Hitler and was praising Hitler and he continued working for him for 6 years after and then only spoke up, you know, a week and a half before the presidential election, either he's lying to your face or he had no problem working for a Nazi. Which one is it? It has to be one or the other. It has to be one or the other. So which is it? He's either lying or he had no problems working for a Nazi. In which case, why did then John Kelly, did you have no problems working for a Nazi? If you think that he is one, why did you have no issue working for him? $1 million question. Wasn't able to, has anyone asked him that? I don't believe so. Here's the other thing. Do you know why these stories aren't tracking, why they're not hitting with voters, why they're not affecting anything? Because we're so used to this stuff. They have been doing this stuff, not just to elected officials, but to you all as well. I mean, don't forget the Tea Party days when people who simply did not want to pay for everyone else's mortgages. And when we all objected to it, we were called terrorists, racist, sexist, Nazis. We were called everything under the book. Everything under the sun, we were labeled with it. And that was coming off of Bush's Hitler, the Bush's Hitler years. And there's a reason why Godwin's Law came into being. Everyone that you disagree with on the internet, somehow it gets, you know, dumbed down to you're Hitler. It's the same thing that they've used over and over again, and people have grown immune to it. You cannot emotionally abuse people into backing you anymore with these stupid, inane arguments and these horrible attempts at character assassination. Because see, what John Kelly is doing here and what the intended goal isn't just to try to smear Trump as some kind of Nazi, but you indirectly by way of supporting him. Oh, then you must also be a Nazi. Do you see how this works? When you accuse people of things and then you try to indirectly smear other people into it, that's you're trying to instill this fear that, oh, well, they don't want to be, good people don't want to be thought of as supporting someone who likes Hitler. Good grief. No one wants to. That's a horrible thing to accuse someone of. It's a horrible thing to even insinuate. But that's what John Kelly is doing. And they're doing it because they're desperate. They're doing it because they're losing Michigan. There's a pollster in Michigan who thinks that the early voting right now is just, I mean, it's not looking well. It's not looking good for Democrats. Not looking good at all. They're freaking out. I'm still not overly confident. I prefer to be a cynic and always be pleasantly surprised. But I'm so tired of these. This is why this isn't tracking. People are worried about how they're going to be able to afford their bills next month. They're not going to get too hung up on a guy with an axe to grind who had no problem with any of this stuff for 6 years, who suddenly now, a week or so before an election, comes forward and says, oh, hey, I heard somebody said this. And never had any objection to it beforehand. I mean, that's a problem. Speaking of Michigan, audio soundbite 23. Listen to what their attorney general just said about their election results. Results, listen.
So results are not going to come in immediately after the election, but they should come in much quicker than before. We've already had 1.3 million absentee ballots that have been, received by their clerks. So I do see the results coming in faster than they have in the past as a result, but it's not going to be immediate. And we know.
Yeah. Why is it not going to be an immediate result? Why would it not be? That's, you literally have one job. That's your job. Why would it take any longer than an evening? Florida gets it all done in one day. Get it all counted one night. It's all set. If you don't have your votes finalized that evening, it's because there's something wrong with what you're purposefully creating problems so that through the fog of confusion, you can slip something in. Just saying. I've been hearing that Republicans are doing really well in early voting in Florida, in North Carolina and Arizona and Pennsylvania. It's starting to pick up. In the meantime, Kamala Harris, she's apparently Washington Post is going to have Beyonce be at her Houston rally on Friday. Okay. And is she actually going to show up this time, or is this going to be like the DNC where they do a bait and switch? I'm curious. I don't know. I'm so done with all this. I don't think that's going to move anybody. I don't think Beyonce is going to move anybody, especially after the way that you've had Democrats really trying to press down on black men in the community. I just think people are, I don't know. I think they're done. I know we are.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. When was that? What anime was that? So we were talking on break, and Steve is like dying laughing because I always have a thing where I'm like, I'd rather do this than that, you know, and it's always something ridiculous and over the top, which is why I should, if we ever have a torture department, I should be put in charge of it. I'd be really good. I'm just saying. And I can't even remember. Steve was laughing because of what I said first hour, and it had to do with something like watching Kamala Harris's town hall. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd rather jump off my roof and break my legs off and then use the femur shards to slice necks and stab people. and then I added, I would also use my bleeding out from the arteries as like jet propulsion in the meantime to get myself around. Since obviously I would be on nubbins. This got very deep quick. And then we're like, what's that anime? That literally is stolen. What is that anime? I watched it. Can't remember what it's called now. Oh,
like
Undead Unluck.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. I can't believe I just remembered it. Undead Unluck is what it is. Wow. Good job, brain. High five me. Yeah. It's cool. I'm not clapping for myself. I'm high fiving myself. Can't believe I remembered that. That was wild. Anyway, so yeah, it was a fun little conversation. I'm at that point though. We're so fed up with it. I mean, we're talking about all the texts that we're getting and all this other stuff from all of the, I mean, it's, oh my gosh, it's a lot. And Harris is not going to do Rogan. Trump's doing Rogan. I don't think Harris, can you see Harris doing any more interviews after the town hall? I cannot tell you guys how bad it was. I started watching, like, I'm not going to lie, the first 6 minutes I was out. I'm like, there's not enough in the world. If you said, Dana, here is a Hogwarts castle and like a selective immortality for you and your loved ones, that's not enough. I always joke. I'm like, everybody has a price. I have a price. That's my price. Selective immortality, where I can also apply to others. And I want a Hogwarts castle. You know, and I just would like a 1971, you know, Challenger, black leather interior, tinted windows all around with a special exemption for having fully front tinted windows. You know, I don't ask a lot. You know what I'm saying? Real reasonable things here. I'm not going to, I'm admitting that I have a price. That's my price. Yet that's not enough to get me to watch more than 6 minutes of that thing last night. And I, this is like my job. And I tried so hard. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate salad. I'm going to go, I just want to go kill an animal in the wild now and eat it. Cain today in stupidity.
It is our vice president and wannabe president. She obviously, you know, when they're not trying to jail their political opponent or try to,
you know,
essentially take the filibuster away or whatever. They're talking about packing the Supreme Court, you know, to save democracy and all that. Here she is, cut six, Juan, cut six.
I do believe that there should be some kind of reform of the court, and we can study what that actually looks like.
Study packing? You're going to study what packing the court will do?
Because she's a nerd, you know. I can't. God bless America. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Yay, we're going to end the week right.